I was in a bit of a bind when trying to get started with tonight's story, and I'm hoping that you might have an answer for me. You see, the title of tonight's story is the Roman numeral for the number 22. Obviously, you can't just read it as 22, because if that was what Ms. Sirode had intended, then it would be called 22 and we wouldn't be having this little monologue. So, I spelled out the letters, which I know is not quite right either, because XXII means nothing, but it at least conveys that these are in fact Roman numerals. So, how would you have read the title of tonight's story? Do let me know. If you've got any insight, I would love to hear it. Otherwise, good evening. It's Thursday, the 27th of July, 2006, and it's Miette's Bedtime Story Podcast. XXII by Natalie Sirode. Sometimes, when they were not looking at him, to try and find something that was warm and living around him, he would run his hand very gently along one of the columns of the sideboard. They would not see him, or perhaps they would think that he was merely touching wood for luck, a very widespread custom and, after all, a harmless one. When he sensed they were watching him from behind, like the villain in the movies who, feeling the eyes of the policeman on his back, concludes his gesture nonchalantly, gives it the appearance of being off-handed and naive, to calm their apprehension he would drum with three fingers of his right hand, 3 times 3, which is the really effectual lucky gesture. For they were watching him more closely since he had been caught in his room, reading the Bible. Objects, too, were very wary of him, and had been for a long time. Ever since, as a little child, he had begged their favour, had tried to attach himself to them, to cling to them, to warm himself. They had refused to play, to become what he had wanted to make of them, poetic memories of childhood. They had been brought to heel, these objects had, been well trained. They had the unobtrusive, anonymous look of well-schooled servants. They knew their place, and they refused to answer him, out of fear, no doubt, of being dismissed. But, with the exception, very rarely, of his timid little gesture, he really took no liberties of any kind. He had succeeded, little by little, in gaining control over all his stupid little manias. In fact, he had fewer of them now than were normally tolerated. He didn't even collect postage stamps, which normal people did for all to see. He never stopped in the middle of the street to look, the way he had once done, on the walls. When the nursemaid, "Come along, will you, come along," had to drag him. He crossed quickly and never held up street traffic. He walked by objects, even the most hospitable, even the most alive of them, without casting a single look of complicity in their direction. In short, the very ones among his friends and relations who were keen about psychiatry had nothing to reproach him with, unless, perhaps, in view of his lack of inoffensive relaxing whims, in view of his too obedient conformity, it were a slight tendency towards asthenia. But they all tolerated that. All things considered, it was less dangerous, less indecorous. From time to time only, when he felt too weary, on their advice, he took the liberty of going away alone on a little trip. And there, when he went walking at nightfall, in the quiet little snowy streets that were filled with a gentle indulgence, he would run his hands lightly over the red and white bricks of the houses, and, clinging to the walls, sideways, through fear of being indiscreet, he would look through the clear panes into downstairs rooms, in which green plants on china saucers had been set in the window, and from where, warm, full, heavy with a mysterious denseness, objects tossed him a small part. To him too, although he was unknown and a stranger, of their radiance were the corners of a table, the door of a sideboard, the straw seat of a chair emerged from the half-light, and consented to become for him, mercifully for him too, since he was standing there waiting, a little bit of his childhood.